Hello and welcome to In Tune with Music. I'm volunteer reader Mike Amy. Bluegrass music is a genre of American roots music that developed in the 1940s in the United States Appalachian region. The genre derives its name from the band Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, the subject of today's program. Bluegrass has roots in traditional English, Scottish, and Irish ballads and dance tunes, and by traditional African-American blues and jazz. Bluegrass was further developed by musicians who played with Monroe. Monroe characterized the genre as Scottish bagpipes and old-time fiddling. It's Methodist and Holiness and Baptist. It's blues and jazz, and it has a high, lonesome sound. Bluegrass features acoustic string instruments and emphasizes the offbeat. Notes are anticipated, in contrast to laid-back blues, where notes are behind the beat, which creates the higher energy characteristic of bluegrass. There are three major subgenres of bluegrass. Traditional bluegrass has musicians playing folk songs, tunes with traditional chord progressions, and using only acoustic instruments, with an example being Bill Monroe. Progressive bluegrass groups may use electric instruments and import songs from other genres, particularly rock and roll. Another subgenre, bluegrass gospel, uses Christian lyrics, soulful three- or four-part harmony singing, and sometimes the playing of instrumentals. A newer development in the bluegrass world is neo-traditional bluegrass. Bands from this subgenre typically have more than one lead singer. Bluegrass music has attracted a diverse following worldwide. Well, we're going to get to the music shortly, but first this overview from Wikipedia. William Smith Monroe was an American mandolinist, singer, and songwriter who created the style of music known as bluegrass. Because of this, he's commonly referred to as the father of bluegrass. The genre takes its name from his band, the Bluegrass Boys, named for Monroe's home state of Kentucky. Monroe's performing career spanned 69 years as a singer, instrumentalist, composer, and bandleader. He was born on his family's farm near Racine, Kentucky, the youngest of eight children of James Buchanan Buck and Melissa Monroe. His mother and her brother, Pendleton Penn Van Diver, were both musically talented, and Monroe and his family grew up playing and singing at home. Bill was of Scottish heritage. Because his older brothers, Birch and Charlie, already played the fiddle and guitar, Bill Monroe was resigned to playing the less desirable mandolin. He recalled that his brothers insisted he should remove four of the mandolin eight strings so he would not play too loudly. Monroe's mother died when he was 10, followed by his father 6 years later, as his brothers and sisters had moved away after bouncing among uncles and aunts. Monroe settled in with his disabled uncle Pendleton Van Diver, often accompanying him when Van Diver played the fiddle at dances. This experience inspired one of Monroe's most famous compositions, Uncle Pen, recorded in 1950, and the 1972 album Bill Monroe's Uncle Pen. On that album, Monroe recorded a number of traditional fiddle tunes he had often heard performed by Van Diver. Uncle Pen has been credited with giving Monroe a repertoire of tunes that sank into Bill's orally trained memory and a sense of rhythm that seeped into his bones. Also significant in Monroe's musical life was Arnold Schultz, an influential fiddler and guitarist who introduced Monroe to the blues. In 1929, Monroe moved to Indiana to work at an oil refinery with his brothers Birch and Charlie and childhood friend and guitarist William Old Hickory Hardin. Together with a friend, Larry Moore, they formed the Monroe Brothers to play at local dances and house parties. Birch Monroe and Larry Moore soon left the group, and Bill and Charlie carried on as a duo, eventually winning spots performing live on radio stations, first in Indiana and then sponsored by Texas Crystals on several radio broadcasts in Shenandoah, Iowa, Nebraska, South Carolina, and North Carolina from 1934 to 1936. RCA Victor signed the Monroe Brothers to a recording contract in 1936. They scored an immediate hit single with a gospel song, What Would You Give in Exchange for Your Soul?, and ultimately recorded 60 tracks for Victor's Bluebird label between 1936 and 1938. Key developments occurred in Monroe's music with the addition of Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs to the Bluegrass Boys in December 1945. Flatt played a solid rhythm guitar style that would help to set the course of bluegrass timing. Scruggs played the banjo with a distinctive three-finger picking style that immediately caused a sensation among Grand Ole Opry audiences. Flatt and Scruggs joined a highly accomplished group that included fiddler Howdy Forrester and bassist Joe Forrester, and would soon include fiddler Chubby Wise and bassist Howard Watts, who often performed under the name Cedric Rainwater. In retrospect, the lineup of the Bluegrass Boys has been dubbed the original Bluegrass Band, as the music finally included all the elements that characterize bluegrass music, including breakneck tempos, sophisticated vocal harmony arrangements, and impressive instrumental proficiency demonstrated in solos or breaks on the mandolin, banjo, and fiddle. By this point, Monroe had acquired the 1923 Gibson F5 model Lloyd Lore mandolin, which became his trademark instrument for the remainder of his career. Artists that claimed to be influenced by or to be playing the bluegrass genre were often bullied by Bill Monroe. He always considered himself the father and caretaker of bluegrass. He would often say of new bands they did not perform to his standards. "That ain't no part of nothing," he'd say. Even those who question the scope of bluegrass refer to Monroe as a musical giant and recognize that there would be no bluegrass without Bill Monroe. Sadly, on June 25, 2019, the New York Times Magazine listed Bill Monroe among hundreds of artists whose material was reportedly destroyed in the 2008 Universal fire. Well, let's kick it off with Uncle Penn. Here's Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys being introduced at an early appearance on the Grand Ole Opry in 1965.
Bluegrass sound with him when he came to the Grand Ole Opry, is that right?
You're right, good.
And we've heard some great compliments on the job that you and your boys did at the Newport Folk Music Festival. Must have been an exciting experience.
Oh, it was. Really wonderful.
Boy, you're a talkative one, Bill.
I know.
As a solemn old judge, George D. Hay used to say, "Here's Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. Let her go, boys."
The people would come from far away, night till the break of day, when they called her a hollering do-si-do, you knew Uncle Penn was ready to go.
Hey, any night about sundown, how the hill is above the town, play the fiddle, all the hounds will ring, you can hear it talk, you can hear it sing.
Called Soldier Joy, and one he called Boston Boy, the greatest of all was Jenny Lynn. I mean, that's where fiddling begins.
Hey, any night about sundown, how the hill in above the town, baby, fiddle, all the howl ring, you can hear it talk, you can hear it sing.
Never forget that mournful day when Uncle Penn was called away. They hung up his fiddle, they hung up his bow, they knew it was time for him to go.
Hey, and even about sundown, how the hill and above the town, all the wind played a fiddle, lot of howl to ring, you can hear it talk, you can hear it sing.
That's Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with Uncle Penn. Well, arguably, their most famous song is Blue Moon of Kentucky, a waltz written in 1945 by Bill Monroe and recorded by his band, the Bluegrass Boys. The song has since been recorded by many artists, including Elvis Presley. In 2003, the song was chosen to be added to the United States Library of Congress National Recording Registry. Blue Moon is the official bluegrass song of Kentucky, In 2003, Country Music Television ranked Blue Moon number 11 in its list of 100 greatest songs in country music. Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with their probably top hit of all time, Blue Moon of Kentucky. And here's a recording that Bill Monroe made in the 1950s of the country song Y'all Come.
Kinfolk
say. Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Oh, you all come just now and then. Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Y'all come.
Oh, you all come. See us when you can.
Bill Monroe with Y'all Come and See Us When You Can. Well, In the Pines, also known as Where Did You Sleep Last Night and My Girl, is a traditional American folk song originating from two songs, In the Pines and The Longest Train, both of whose authorship is unknown and date back at least to the 1870s. The songs originated in the southern Appalachian area of the United States, in the contiguous areas of eastern Tennessee and Kentucky, western North Carolina, and northern Georgia. Versions of the song have been recorded by many artists in numerous genres, but it's most often associated with bluegrass musician Bill Monroe and American blues musician Leadbelly, both of whom recorded very different versions of the song in the 1940s and 1950s. Here's Bill Monroe's version. Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with In the Pines. Well, the fiddle tune Orange Blossom Special, about the passenger train of the same name, was written by Irvin T. Rouse in 1938. The original recording was created by Irvin and Gordon Rouse in 1939. It's often called simply the Special. It's been referred to as the Fiddle Players' National Anthem. Here's Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with Del McCurry.
Good, and we're going to get him to do it for you. And this boy requested the Orange Blossom Special. So let's go one time. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine. That's mighty nice of you. That's mighty nice of you. Thank you.
Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with Del McCurry with Orange Blossom Special, and that was followed by Can't You Hear Me Callin'. That was another famous Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys tune from the 1930s and 40s, and here performed in a reunion with two of the Bluegrass Boys who'd played in early years with Bill Monroe, Mack Wiseman and Don Reno. Well, we've got a few minutes left, so let's talk about some instrumentation used in bluegrass music. Unlike mainstream country music, bluegrass is traditionally played on acoustic stringed instruments. The fiddle, five-string banjo, guitar, mandolin, and upright bass, or string bass, are often joined by the resonator guitar, also referred to as a dobro, and occasionally harmonica or jew's harp. This instrumentation originated in rural dance bands and is the basis on which the earliest bluegrass bands were formed. The guitar is now most commonly played with a style referred to as flat picking. Unlike the style of early bluegrass guitarists such as Lester Flatt, who used a thumb pick and finger pick, banjo players use mainly the three-finger picking style made popular by banjoists such as Earl Scruggs. Fiddlers frequently play in thirds and fifth, producing a sound that's characteristic to the bluegrass style. Bassists almost always play pizzicato, occasionally adopting the slap style to accentuate the beat. A bluegrass bass line is generally a rhythmic alternation between the root and fifth of each chord, with occasional walking bass excursions. Instrumentation has been a continuing topic of debate. In the genre, traditional bluegrass performers believe the correct instrumentation is that used by Bill Monroe's band, the Bluegrass Boys. They used guitar, mandolin, fiddle, banjo, and bass. Departure from the traditional instrumentation has included the dobro, accordion, harmonica, piano, auto harp, drums, electric guitar, and electric versions of other common bluegrass instruments, resulting in what has been referred to as new grass, although even Bill Monroe was known to experiment with instrumentation, once even using a string orchestra, choir, and pre-recorded bird song track. Well, we hope you have enjoyed this edition of In Tune with Music. I'm Sun Sound's volunteer reader, Mike Amy. Thank you for listening.